Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. We made it to the weekend, and we made it through a particularly dull, dead, boring week when it comes to Green Bay Packers news, NFL news, obviously waiting for the draft, which is still a month away. But that's all about to change, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, starting Monday morning down there in Phoenix, Arizona. The league meetings kicking into gear actually on Sunday, but Monday morning is the NFC coaches breakfast, which means we'll hear from Matt LaFleur, all manner of quotes undoubtedly peppered by local and national media about all manner of stuff, including the hiring of Jonathan Gannon. Still haven't heard from the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers yet, but we will hear from the man who hired him, along with, I have to suspect, some of the reasoning and or story behind Rich Bisaccia leaving when he did, the reasons behind it. Still, a lot of smoke there, a little bit of fire, but hopefully Matt LaFleur is able to give at least a little illumination there. And then on top of that, of course, there will be the discussion of his contract extension. I don't expect him to give any details, but I'm sure it will be noted, along with some of the league stuff, including rules proposals. The owners will be voting on that. There will be meetings with GMs and coaches. And there's an outside chance that maybe some free agent news happens throughout the week. It's not a very common occurrence, but every once in a while, agents and players show up in either Florida or Arizona, wherever the league meetings are that year. And a little bit of business can be done at times in the league meetings or around the league meetings. And one other thing, I have to warn some of our more sensitive viewers and listeners out there, especially the younger set, who seem so upset that the prospects of the local media having a drink with Matt LaFleur. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I don't mean to burst your bubble, but there is a bar on site there at the Biltmore in Arizona that both coaches, GMs, and the media will all be in attendance at, just mingling, talking, beverages. I don't know. I know it was a big story last summer, so some of you more, disquieted folks out there who clutched their pearls at the thought of the media having a beverage or two with coaches, you may want to look away next week because there will be some of that going on down in Phoenix, Arizona. Be still, my heart. I will not be in attendance. I'm not traveling to the owners' meetings. I've been to the Combine a million times. I've been to the Super Bowl a bunch, but never been to the owners' meetings. And probably going to change that next year. I've had a number of folks on the beat and in the national media tell me that I really need to get down there. So probably going to make the journey next year. But this year, we're going to be counting on the beat. We're going to be counting on guys like Ryan Wood, Rob Domofsky, Matt Schneidman, and the like to get us the quotes, to get us the news, to get us the info. I'm very excited, especially after a week where there wasn't a whole hell of a lot going on. Good to at least get some quotes, not just from Matt LaFleur, but also, yes, Brian Gutekunst after the first flush of free agency. And, of course, Ed Policy should be in front of a microphone at some point, undoubtedly talking to the beat and discussing, among other things, and probably most importantly, his decision to give Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, and Russ Ball contract extensions, along with a number of other things I'm sure he'll be asked about. That will most likely be the headline coming out of the proceedings. But that's all next week. Right now, I want to hear from you guys. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in the comments section? So good to see you all mixing it up. Before we get going, I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare.
Expertise follows inspiration. That's why more than a dozen of the nation's top cardiovascular specialists have chosen ThetaCare as their destination to deliver exceptional care. By infusing local care with new expertise throughout ThetaCare, we're creating a healthier future for all. Meet the experts at ThetaCare.org/heart.
All right, folks, what's up? How we doing? Bumpa, what a handle. Thanks for starting us off. You often say that players have to put the work in during the offseason. Since the players can't have contact with coaches and trainers, what does that actually look like? That's an excellent question. And a lot of times it's guys working out with their peers. Sometimes it'll be driven by the agencies. Guys are represented by, say, Athletes First or one of the other agencies that, you know, tend to have a bunch of dudes who all are under the same umbrella and they all go to the same spot to work out, and they'll kind of push each other. They'll sometimes work out kind of separately as far as individually, and or get a collection of guys that are all kind of working on the same thing or and or the same position groups. But that stuff is or only kind of happens so much. Like there's a, maybe a week, 10-day stretch where these guys get together collectively. So much of it has to occur individually. And as far as what that looks like, it can be maybe a spot in his hometown that he's, you know, been working out at for a long time, or with a group that he, a trainer that maybe he, you know, discovered when he was in college, et cetera, that he keeps going back to. But, you know, there's a difference probably most likely for each guy. I obviously can't speak to each individual routine, but there is a lot of kind of collectivism at this point in a way there didn't used to be. Guys working out, and not team specific, though I know we've seen these kind of recent shots, right, of Micah Parsons working out with Trayvon Diggs and or Baron Sorrell and company. But a lot of times, especially when it's driven by agencies, you'll have lots of guys from lots of different teams working out. A lot of this, I don't want to say a lot, but a number of these guys work out in California throughout the summer through either Athletes First, CAA, organizations like that. But again, that is great, and it's wonderful that they do get together and have that time. But again, that is not throughout an entire offseason. There is still a bunch of time where it is down to the individual player getting up every day, doing the work, putting it in hours on end. This is why we always talk about the fact that, you know, these guys are professionals. And even though they do have this, quote, time off that the PA got for them in the last collective bargaining agreement, it is still their job to be in shape, to maintain their body. You know, that is their professional kind of target, for lack of a better phrase. And look, some guys are motivated. Most guys do the work. Not everyone does it as much as others. You know, it's not, there's no set, true, tried, okay, this is what I'm going to do each and every day, no matter what, come hell or high water. I'm going to check all these boxes from the moment the season ends right up until the start of the off-season program. Some guys are more diligent than others, you know, and again, I do say it every off-season. It is up to the guys, the individuals, to put that work in. And some guys do a little bit more than others. There's no doubt about that. Dennis is here. What's up? New York Cheese said, no news is good news. Let's hope so, brother. Let us hope so. Richard, what's up? Any plans for Matt LaFleur on transplants this year? Not at the moment. We'll see. I know we put the request in last year, and it was touch and go, but finally never happened. So we'll try again this year. But we do have a very special guest on transplants next month. I know Corey and I just had our first off-season transplants of the year earlier this week. We'll be having another one in April, and we will be having a very special guest. It is not Matt LaFleur, but I think you guys will enjoy it. Oh, this excellent, excellent Abdul off-season negativity question. Hey, Aaron, if we're one and done again, is Matt LaFleur back in 2027? I'll give you the same answer I was giving you throughout the weeks we didn't know if Matt was going to be back at all, and that is only Ed Policy knows. Now, I suspect, yeah, probably. If he's been given any kind of legitimate extension, I would suspect he's back for at least 2 years, barring a complete collapse that is directly contributed to Matt LaFleur's coaching and not a rash of injuries or what have you. Yeah, I can't imagine, even if they are one and done, I think, yeah, he probably is back for 2027 because they've just given him a contract extension. Now, no one knows the terms. Again, I suspect he'll probably be asked at the owners' meetings next week, and I don't think he'll share anything, but I can't imagine it's just a one-year extension. I don't know that he would sign such a thing, but there's a long way to go between now and then, and of course, the same caveats always apply. Why is it that they've gone one and done? Did they limp into the playoffs? Were they the hottest team, and there's this huge disappointment because they were supposed to beat whoever they were facing? Was it a home playoff game? Was it a game where they were up 21-3 again at halftime and then they collapsed all over again, and this time at home, making it even worse? Only Ed Policy can answer. I suspect it would depend on the manner in which, but again, he just signed Matt to a contract extension, indicating that he has faith long-term in Matt's ability to get them to the Super Bowl. So again, the blanket answer is probably. He probably is. Joe, what's going on, man? Saw the idea floated of an 18-game season with each player limited to 17 games. Could there actually be player bye weeks? Yes, Corey went off on this on the latest edition of Transplants. I guess anything is possible, right? Given that there will be new CBA negotiations on the horizon here, and that might be a talking point. I can't fathom that actually occurring, but hey man, stranger shit has happened. I know that's something that has been talked about kind of in the kind of ether of the NFL for, you know, 2 or 3 years now because of the looming specter of 18 games. It's like, you're already a mash unit by the 17th game, and one more game you're suddenly going to cause for this huge shift where you have to sit a guy at least 1 week. That'll make any sense to me. Also, is the PA going to go for the idea of a guy not getting paid for a week? Is he getting paid? Is his salary guaranteed because he has to take a week off? You know, these are all things that will be in the negotiation. I can't fathom either side wants that to happen. I can't believe that the owners are going to sit there and go, yes, please let me guarantee a week's salary for this guy who isn't going to play. Like, I know, again, that this is kind of the time where all these proposals and ideas will be thrown out there, but man, I have a hard time seeing that become reality. Jason, how are you, man? One upside about this draft is that Goody doesn't have to draft for a starter. Our lineup is set. This draft is about restocking the cupboard. Do you feel the same? Man, not necessarily. I understand what you're saying, and I think they are in a decent spot, but I do think you're either getting worse or you're getting better, and they can certainly get better if they found a starter or two in the draft, namely, i.e. at corner, bring in someone at least to compete, right? Nose tackle, I think that's been well covered, at least in the internet sphere, but certainly that's a guy, whoever that might end up being, that they could probably end up playing quite a bit if they are in a 3-4 base on early downs. Now, obviously, a big-ass nose tackle ain't going to be a three-down player, and generally the Packers haven't tried or really put any kind of consistent, I want to say, you know, use their assets that way as far as finding a guy who's only going to play limited snaps. But, man, it's a pretty important component for a team that is switching to a 3-4 and has had issues stopping the run the last couple of years, especially last year. I just feel like, yeah, no, there are always spots where you can hopefully find a starter or at least someone to push the guys you have on your roster. Again, I understand what you're saying, and I don't completely dismiss it out of hand, but there are always going to be instances where you want more competition in a room. I know Brian at the Combine indicated corner and linebacker, you know, especially with the switch to a 3-4, whether you're talking about the guys on the edge standing up or more specifically on the interior, then you're going to probably see there's a decent chance that at least one guy at each of those positions gets drafted to try and push the guys who are already on the roster. Now, I think to your overall point, I think they are in a decent spot as far as not needing to really reach for any particular roster spot because they are in a good situation. Like, that is what Ryan has traditionally always tried to do, is make sure that they are not boxed in for need by the time the draft comes. And that's why I do think there's a chance they may still add a big body up front prior to the draft, so they don't have to go reach for that type. I think a tight end addition is another possibility for that same reason. But yeah, I just think you're always trying to push. You're always trying to get better. You're always trying to provide competition. And that's hopefully the draft gives you a guy or two along that avenue. Dan, Corey has no respect for me due to my view on Matt LaFleur, Lieutenant Dan. I mean, he hasn't, I don't believe, now I'm gonna defend my boy here. I believe the words were, anyone I've met in life. Now, he has met you on Zoom, but that is not in life. So I think you're still in the clear, buddy. I think you're okay. Andrew Ware, what's up, man? Is the tush push a thing? Haven't heard anything. It's just fascinating, isn't it, how last year, not ancient history, last year, the Packers led the charge in banning the tush push and got to the point where there were 22 of the necessary 24 votes, two votes short. It felt like it was a done deal. Come this offseason, they were certainly going to make the push, they being the Packers, the NFL, all 21 other teams that voted against it to ban it, etc. Certainly, we're going to get to this offseason, and the groundswell will be undeniable. But then the last season played out, and the Eagles weren't as automatic with the tush push, and all of a sudden, nobody has said a word about it. There is no rule proposal. There is absolutely radio silence on the tush push, which makes it doubly embarrassing for folks like LaFleur and Gutekunst and everyone else who spoke up about it last offseason, about what a issue it was, what a clear issue it was when it came to player safety. So now it's not a player safety issue because suddenly the Eagles aren't as good at it? Come on, people. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's interesting. It's funny how that works, huh? E4, what's going on, man? Oops, this might be a repeat. I am an owner. Where is my invite? Heads will roll. Nice. I will let the folks at 1265 Lombardi know that E4 was left off the invite list for the owners meeting. Abdul, how are you, buddy? If we go to 18 games, at what point do we go to 19? Probably when I'm in an old folks home. I think 18 is the target because it helps them continue to push the postseason back and get them to their long-held goal and belief that the Super Bowl should be on President's Day weekend. And I do think, especially given the re-upping of the media rights deals that's coming along with the new CBA, I think when they get to 18, it's funny because when they hit 17, I remember everyone talking about what a foregone conclusion 18 already was, especially considering the way the CBA had been drawn up and the way the league could get out of it at a certain time, etc. I haven't heard anybody, and I mean on either side, talk about the possibility of 19 games, regular season games. Like, that has never, ever, ever been close to a consideration. Now, could it be eventually? Sure. But I think that's going to be a problem for my kids' kids to deal with. I don't think I'm going to have to deal with that. And if I do, like I said, I'm going to be in an old folks' home. And those are going to be some really fun Packer Transplants episodes. But I think 18 is the goal simply because, like I said, they're already so close, right, to the President's Day weekend Super Bowl. You put that 18th game in, you push it down another week, two, et cetera, they're there, right? I think that's going to be it for a bit, at least. What else we got here, folks? We got Mike Witt. How are you, buddy? Hey, Nags, the big question of the offseason, will Matt LaFleur be sitting next to Ben Johnson at the coach's picture during the league meetings? Random Packer, Bryce Pop. Bryce Pop, man. Can't believe they let him go still. Yes. I know Big Cat always has a good time with the coach's picture. And yes, it will be fascinating to see where Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur are sitting relative to each other. Will Matt be sitting next to, you know, his boys, Sean McVay, etc., Shanahan, what have you? Are they going to form a circle around like their part and then like Ben Johnson's relegated to the other side? Fascinating stuff coming our way later next week. Let's see what else we got here, folks. Pack Daddy, yes, 1,000,000,000%. If we go to 18, they need to expand the roster. That is 1,000% going to be a major conversation piece and a major bargaining piece when the two sides open up negotiations on the next CBA. This is something they've talked about quite a bit. And of course, they did somewhat start to do that during the pandemic, right? And even the way they are now able to kind of move guys up and down from the practice squad itself has really expanded, right? Because of the pandemic. And then they kind of held on to some of that. That has kind of been the start of what you're talking about. But without question, moving to 18, they've already talked about it. You know, it's brought up every time there's a new CBA negotiation. Owners have really dragged their feet on it, but I'm pretty sure that at this point, especially someone was saying before, like by the time you get to week 17, like it's a mass unit. Like you're already barely scraping together enough games that people are interested in. You know, I think without question, you're going to have to expand the rosters by, you know, a handful of guys. Now, I don't think we're ever going to see, you know, 53 active on game day anytime soon, but that is, they have to just from, because it's such a war of attrition, they will at least be talking about expanding the rosters. That has to occur. Jason, what's up, man? Will Newt be with you during draft weekend? He will be with us for Friday night when the Packers are actually selecting players. And then Saturday, we will not be having a live stream. I'll be doing kind of video recaps of all the selections. And then Sunday, Newt and I will have a video for you guys wrapping up the entirety of the draft. So Thursday night, it's just going to be myself, maybe Corey, though I don't know. The Packers don't have a pick, so he might not be interested at all. Friday night will be the fun big night. It'll be myself, Corey, Newt, lots of other guests, fun times. Patreon members probably hanging out like old times. That'll be a lot of fun. And then, yeah, Sunday afternoon, we'll have a video up for you where Newt and I go through the entirety of the new draft class. Abdul, do you see a lockout happening next summer? In the NFL, no. In Major League Baseball, yes. No, but I don't think there's going to be a lockout through this negotiation, and it's, you know, somewhat sad, but a part of the reason I think there's not going to be a lockout is because J.C. Treader is the head of the NFLPA, and he is clearly, I'm not going to say a plant, but clearly somewhat cozy with the NFL, for lack of a better term. I don't think it's going to be nearly as contentious as it was when D was in charge. So all that to say, I don't see a lockout coming, but you never know. It's always kind of crazy. Abdul, who's Newt? Tell me you don't look at this channel any other time than when I'm live without telling me. Newt Weston, Cheesehead TV draft analyst, has about 400 videos here on the channel for you to check out. Come on, Abdul. Making me sad, dude. Abdul also says, didn't Treader get exposed by Pablo Torre? Yeah. Yes, he did. To the point where he had to resign his post. And then he ran for executive director and still won. That's where we are, people. That's where we are. All right, folks. I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack, go.